The final component of Lecture A introduces generalized linear models and the notion of the marginality principle, where you may want to include interaction terms in your model, but when you do variable selection, you want to ensure that if you include an interaction term, the main effect is also included. So if I start by sharing the lecture, we'll go back. So we're up to A3 and we're looking at the marginality principle. So the new concepts we'll look at specifically logistic regression models as a special case of generalized linear models. We'll look at the marginality principle with respect to interaction terms. The new functions we'll introduce are the GLM function, the AIC function, the best GLM package and its best GLM function, and the hairnet function from the hairnet package. The motivating example that we'll look at, the rock wallaby data. So in case you're unfamiliar, this is an example of a rock wallaby. It's basically a small kangaroo native to Australia. This data set comes from the Warrumbungle National Park area, which is in this part of New South Wales. For context, that's Australia there, and we're up in this area of New South Wales. You can find more about the rock wallaby data set in the mplot package. There are nine variables. The dependent variable RW is the presence or absence of rock wallaby scat, and it's recorded as 0 or 1. Then we've got variables like edible and inedible, the percentage cover of vegetation that's edible or inedible, canopy, distance, shelter, and then the latitude and longitude of the site. This was used in a paper from 2011 where Samuel was one of the co-authors. Okay, so as I mentioned, there's one dependent variable, that was RW, and then 5 main effects. Through discussions with the researchers, they also chose to include 3 interactions as possible candidate predictors. And these interactions, we're looking at the interaction between edible and distance, edible and shelter, and distance and shelter. So that they thought that these might also be useful predictors to consider. So when we're setting up the data frame that we want to work with, we've got all of our main effects, excluding latitude and longitude. We won't be using those as predictors, but we also create these new interaction terms. Okay, when we look at the correlation matrix of our data frame, we can see that there's some correlation between the binary outcome RW and some of the predictors, in particular edible has a correlation of 0.3 there. We can see that there's some high collinearity between, particularly between the main effects and the interaction terms, which can cause issues with your model selection process. We can also visualize this data if we use the ggpairs function from the ggally package. We can feed it our data set, and it will show you pairwise scatter plots down here in the lower triangle, as well as correlations and it optionally significance of those correlations in the upper triangle. So you can see already that by looking at these interaction terms, we're getting some unusual patterns between when you plot, for example, distance against distance by shelter. Similarly, in edible by distance, and you can see the distribution of the variables on the main diagonal here. So it's always a good idea to have a look at your data and see what you're working with. So because our binary, because our outcome is a binary variable, we're not going to be considering a standard linear model. We'll fit a logistic regression model, which models essentially the conditional probability of success as some function of the predictors and their coefficients. And we'll be using the link function here as the logistic link function. So we're not going to go into much detail around this. It's more or less assumed knowledge, but we're reparameterizing the problem to model the conditional probability of success rather than the conditional mean function. This can be done quite easily in R using the GLM function and specifying family equals binomial. So we're going to regress our dependent variable against all the other variables in the data set. That's what this against dot notation means, whatever your Y is against everything else in the data set that you supply. We're going to be calculating information criterion. You can do this manually if you extract the log likelihood out of your GLM object, minus two times that plus P times log N will give you your BIC value. Alternatively, you can use the AIC function, but specify a different K parameter. So by default, the K for the AIC function is 2. If you specify log N, you'll end up with the BIC. Okay, so if we were to naively just throw all of our predictors, including those interaction terms, we'd have nine total predictors. And so we'd end up with 256 potential submodels. But that would include the model, for example, that only had the three interaction terms, but none of the main effects. That's usually undesirable. So usually when you include an interaction term, you're going to want at least one of the main effects in the model as well, and typically both of the main effects in the model. So the marginality principle sort of describes this practice. So in general, you never want to remove a main effect if a term involving its interaction is included in the model. You can think of it another way. If you're fitting a quadratic and you've got the square of a variable in your model, you probably also want the linear term in the model as well. So if you force interaction terms to include their main effects, then the model space is actually reduced quite significantly from 256 down to only 72 models. So by taking the marginality principle into account, you can actually quite significantly reduce the size of the model space that you need to explore. Okay, so back to our motivating example. We're going to fit an object called dem1 using the GLM function, a dependent variable in the W data frame that we created earlier is RW, and we're going to fit it against all of the other variables in that data frame. We're going to perform a logistic regression model. So we're using GLM and specifying family equals binomial. We can apply the summary function to that fit object using summary of M1, and this is what we get. So this looks very similar to the summary function applied to a linear model object. It tells you what you asked for, essentially. Give you your residual summary statistics, and then it also gives you a table of estimated coefficients, their standard errors, their Z values, and the probability that this estimate is significantly, or the p-value. So testing for the hypothesis that this coefficient is equal to zero or not. Showing up as the probability here in this column. There's a bit more information down the bottom, including the AIC value. So we can kind of see here that this model is ripe for selection. Individually, it looks like there's only one significant predictor. So we might want to think about which of these variables will we drop from our model. One way to do this is to use the best GLM package, which performs a complete enumeration of the model space for generalized linear models. And by default, it goes back to the LEAPS package for linear models. Now, we introduced earlier the LM subsets package, which is a more modern version of LEAPS. The best GLM package has been around for quite a while, so it's using the older version of LM subsets, which is known as LEAPS. So the more established version of the LM subsets package. So the best fit, so it'll go through all possible combinations. It does ignore the marginality principle. So it will go through all, how many did we say? 256 combinations. including models that violate the marginality principle, and try to identify the best model. And it will do this, or can do this, using the AIC or the BIC. It can also do it using cross-validation, which we'll talk more about in lecture B. So if we do this with our rock wallaby data, we need the function itself is expecting a data frame where the dependent variable is in the last column. So this is a quirk of this particular package and this particular function. So we just need to rework our data a little bit. So we get our predictors, our X variables, by dropping the RW column from our W dot data frame. We'll pull out Y, our predictor, our response variable, by extracting the RW column. And then we'll put them back together again as a data frame, binding our predictors and our response variable together. So now this XY is just a rearranged version of our original data frame with all the predictors in the first few columns and then the dependent variable in the final column. So we run best GLM on this data frame. So it's not a formula that it inputs, it's just a data frame that you put as an input. You tell it that you want to use the AIC as an information criterion to choose the best model. And we specify that the family is binomial because we're working with a logistic regression model. Okay, so then that will go through and it will suggest that the best model is the one that includes edible, which was the single significant predictor when we fitted the full model, and also edible by distance, so this interaction. Now this hasn't quite obeyed the full marginality principle. If we were, then we would also require distance to be in this model so that the two main effects were in there along with the interaction term. Similarly, if you were to specify BIC as your information criterion approach, we actually end up with the same model in this case. That's not necessarily always going to be the case, but in this particular data set, we end up with the main effect of edible and the interaction term of edible by distance. Okay, so how can we actually enforce the marginality principle when we're searching through this space? Well, one option is to hard code. And so you can write a script that only allows for models where the marginality principle is respected, fit all of those models, work out the information criterion or whatever metric you're using to choose your best model and go from there. So in that way, you ignore any models that don't meet the marginality principle. And that might be something that's feasible to do. You might also include regularization type procedures. And one of these, that there are a few out there. We'll talk about one in the lecture now, Hairnet. Then there are others that you can explore in the lab following this lecture. So this is essentially hierarchical regularization, formulating the marginality principle as a hierarchical approach to model selection where you can only include or exclude main effects if the interaction has already also been excluded. So there are two ways that this function Hairnet can enforce this marginality principle, either in a weak hierarchy with strong equal to false, or in a strong hierarchy with strong equal to true. These are inputs for the parameters of the function Hairnet. So with weak hierarchy, at least one of the main effects has to be present. With strong hierarchy, both of the main effects have to be present. So how do we actually go about doing this? We load the package. We need to set up our design matrix X, so just our main effects only, not including those interaction effects. So we manually added the interaction effects earlier, those three pairwise interactions. We scale our main effects And then we use the hairnet.logistic.path, so logistic because we're doing logistic regression, and we're going to extract along the regularization path for different values of the regularization parameter, the different models that we observe. So this is going to be our fitted object. That's our scaled design matrix with the main predictors. That's our response variable. And we're saying strong marginality principle, please. So we're going to set a seed because this cross-validation procedure that it performs, which we'll talk about more in lecture B, is inherently random, and this will give us a reproducible result. So we take our fitted object along the logistic path with our design matrix, our Y, and we ask to perform a cross-validation process that will help us establish which tuning parameter gives us a good model. Okay, so out of that cross-validation process, it's said that the tuning parameter, lambda hat, using the one standard error rule of 23 gives us a good result. So then we can go and we can actually fit the model using that particular value for the tuning parameter, again, with our design matrix and our Y. And it will tell us, after all of this, that the preferred model is just the model that has edible in it. So when we're respecting the full marginality principle, this hierarchical regularization approach says that just the edible model is the model with edible in it is the best model. It doesn't include the interaction term between edible and distance, because if it did that, it would also need to include the distance variable. And it's decided that that model with three variables, edible, distance, and the interaction, is not significantly better in some sense than the model just with edible in it. Okay, so that's for this particular value of the tuning parameter. And we'll discuss more about what this one standard error rule is in lecture B. For illustration purposes, let's just pick another smaller value of the tuning parameter. So instead of using 23, we're going to use 5. So this is going to encourage a less sparse model. So we're going to see more main effects and more interaction effects because our tuning parameter is smaller than the cross-validation approach suggested was the best tuning parameter. But we do this so that I can show you what the output from your hairnet.logistic function is with lambda equal to 5. We can see that we've got the main effect is still in there of edible, but we've also got a few other main effects, the second, the third, and the fourth variable. You can see that the output is not so nice. You need to go back to the design matrix to know what is variable 1, 2, 3, and 4. We can see that we've got the strong marginality principle for variables 2 and 3. So there's this interaction between variables 2 and 3, and both main effects are included in the model. But because we've specified strong equals to false in this example as well, it's also allowed for an interaction between variable 4 and variable 5 without variable 5 necessarily being included as a main effect. So this is an indication of what an alternative model reported by hairnet.logistic would look like when it allows for more less sparsity, so more variables being included in the model, and when you do not enforce the strong marginality principle, just the weak marginality principle, which says that at least one of the main effects for your interaction term need to be included. And in this case, it was the main effect X4 that was included, but X5 was not included as a main effect. Okay, so that's the end of lecture A. Now we encourage you to go and have a play with the lab A, which you can find on the website. It works through some of the topics that we've looked at in lecture A, including a section on the marginality principle. We looked at hairnet in the lecture just now, but there are others such as RAMP, GlinterNet, and more complex ones for different kinds of models that you might fit that exist in the literature. it's a growing area in the literature, and there are more models appearing every year. So we'd encourage you to have a play with this code and apply what you've learned to the diabetes data set, not just the wallabies data set. So this goes through, again, the hairnet process for the wallabies data, and as well RAMP, the regularization algorithm under marginality principle. After you've done that, apply what you've learned to the diabetes data set, and we'll see you in lecture B.